Like to turn to the book of 1 John, book of 1 John, chapter 2, book of 1 John, chapter 2, and we read verse 3. And hereby do we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. The book of 1 John was written by the Apostle John. By this time, he is the aged Apostle John, the same one who wrote the Gospel of John, same one who wrote 2 and 3 John, same one who wrote the book of the Revelation. This is the same one that leaned upon the bosom of Jesus. He was along with Peter and James. He formed Christ's inner circle. We see many times where Christ took John, Peter, and James apart. This is the same one when referring to himself in the Gospel of John, five times under different circumstances and in different situations, simply said, the disciple whom Jesus loved. He was very much aware of the fact that Christ loved him. And that fact had a working influence upon his life. This is the same John who had the courage to stand at the foot of the cross while all the others had fled. The same one who looked into the empty tomb along with Peter on the morning of the resurrection. Same one who would later be exiled to the island of Patmos for faithfully preaching the truth. If you carefully read the writings of John, again, the Gospel of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, the book of Revelation, you will notice that he portrayed Christ in a broader sense than any of the other gospel writers. He spoke with more familiarity than the other gospel writers, Matthew, Luke, and Mark. Reading through the Gospel of John and reading through the Gospels, you will find that the book of John is deeper than Matthew, Luke, or Mark. The book of John is one of the deepest books in the Word of God. It is also more practical than Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Now, don't go from here and say, Brother Dan said Matthew, Mark, and Luke aren't deep and they're not practical. That's not what I said. John is deeper. And John is more practical. As you read the writings of John, you cannot help but see a man that had a very deep personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He was a man who was consumed. He was overwhelmed and he was in awe and wonder of Jesus Christ. It is this man that the Holy Spirit moved to write these words in our text. We do know that we know him. we do know that we know Him. I want to take the thought of the message from that phrase. We do know that we know Him. The subject of the message is a personal, transforming knowledge of Christ. The book of 1 John was written to believers. It was written to the saved. Not only to the saved, it was written to those who had been indoctrinated in truth. These were individuals who knew the truth. Notice in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 21, I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it. So he's writing to those who know the truth, that no lie is of the truth. So his purpose in writing the book was not so much to inform them in doctrine, but to edify them in what they already knew. Not to tell them something new, but to confirm them in what they already had heard. His purpose is stated in chapter 1, verse 3 and verse 4. That which we have seen and heard, speaking of Jesus, that's made plain from verse 1, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with His Son, Jesus Christ. He's saying, I am writing you this book, this letter, so that you can have a more personal fellowship with Jesus Christ. And verse 4, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Also notice in chapter 5 and verse 13, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe more fully. They already believe, but they may believe more fully on Jesus, the Son of God. So his emphasis in writing was that those who believed and knew would believe more and would know more fully and would believe and know more personally. And in this, their joy would be more full. Again, look at those words of our text. We do know that we know Him. John is speaking of knowing. He is speaking of knowing Christ, but it's more than that. He's speaking of knowing that we know Jesus Christ. Again, we do know that we know Him. Read those words over again and again and again. Let them sink deep into your hearts. We do know that we know Him. Those words ought to cause us to examine ourselves. Those words ought to cause us to challenge our hearts. I want to notice the object of this knowledge that he's speaking about. It is brought out there. We do know that we know Him. That's the object of the knowledge. Him. It refers back to verses 1 and 2. Jesus Christ the righteous, the propitiation for our sins. We do know that we know Him, Jesus Christ the righteous, the propitiation for our sins. In the Gospel of John, Again, John portrayed Christ more than anyone. And in the Gospel of John, he portrayed Christ as equal with God. He begins the book declaring that Jesus Christ is equal with God, not only equal with God, but that He is God and that He is the Eternal One. He portrays Christ as the Son of God. John chapter 3, He is portrayed as the Master Teacher. He is portrayed as the great miracle worker. He is portrayed as the great physician, as the bread and the water of life, as the shepherd, as the prince of life, as the king. John chapter 13, He is portrayed as the servant. In the book of John, He is portrayed as the consoler, the way, the truth, and the life. He is portrayed as the true vine and as the giver of the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 17, we see Jesus as the great intercessor. In the book of John, we see Jesus Christ as the model sufferer. We see Him as the uplifted Savior and as the conqueror of death and as the restorer of the penitent, dealing with Peter. So all through the Gospel of John, we have this portrait of Jesus Christ that John paints us. And then in 1 John, he does it again. He portrays Christ as the Word of life. He portrays Christ as eternal life, as the Son, as the Advocate, as the Righteous, as the Propitiation for our sins. He portrays Him as Jesus. He portrays Him as Christ, the only begotten Son, the Savior, and the true God. John was infatuated with Jesus Christ. In his toward the end of his life, he is exiled to the island of Patmos. And there are well over 100 descriptions of Jesus Christ in the book of Revelation. All through the book of Revelation, we see Christ. This is what many miss in the book of Revelation. It is called the revelation of Jesus Christ, the unveiling of Jesus Christ. People get so caught up in the end time events recorded in Revelation that they lose sight of who is being revealed. John, as he does in all of his writings, portrays Christ. He speaks of His voice in the book of Revelation. He speaks of His head. He even speaks of His eyes, His feet, His hands, His mouth, His countenance. He is speaking as someone who knew Christ and knew Christ very personally. He referred to Him as the faithful witness in the book of Revelation, the first begotten of the dead, the prince of the kings of the earth, the Alpha and the Omega, He that liveth and was dead, He that shutteth and no man openeth. He speaks of Him as the Amen, as the Lord, as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He speaks of Him as the Root of David, as the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. Speaks of Him as the bright and morning star. And 27 times He speaks of Him as the Lamb. John heard John the Baptist saw John the Baptist point to Christ and say, "Behold the Lamb of God." And now at the end of his life, 27 times, he portrays Christ as the Lamb. John, who wrote these words, "We do know that we know him," was in awe of Jesus Christ. Knew him so personally that he talked about his eyes and his feet. And in our text, John writes that this one that he has portrayed, he's writing to believers, can be known in a more personal way. Not only that, but we can know that we know him. So the subject or the object of the knowledge is Christ. That leads us to the question, what kind of knowledge is John referring to? The Bible. These books that we hold in our hand today tell us all about Jesus Christ. They don't tell us everything because the world could not contain all of those books. But it tells us all about Jesus Christ. I believe if you look carefully, you can see Jesus on every single page of the Word of God. He is portrayed through this book. And by reading and by studying this book, one can know Jesus Christ intellectually. By reading this book, you can know some facts about Jesus Christ. You and I can learn many things about Jesus Christ second and third hand. You and I learn many things about Jesus Christ coming to church. And we ought to seek to know as much as we can about Jesus Christ. But a mere intellectual knowledge of Christ is detached from our lives, is detached. This is why so many who profess Christ are miserable, because they know Christ in an intellectual way, and that drives them nuts because they do not know him personally. John is not speaking of intellectual knowledge when he wrote those words, "We do know that we know him." He was speaking of a knowledge of assurance. He's speaking of firsthand, personal knowledge of Christ. When the Lord saved us, we came to know Christ as Savior. But it shouldn't stop there. We're to know Christ personally. And we're to know that we know him. This personal knowledge of Christ includes a personal understanding. We don't understand everything about Christ, but we ought to have a personal understanding concerning him. A personal grasp. A personal recognition of Christ. This word "know" is used so frivolously today. People have talked with somebody for 2 minutes and somebody asks them, "Do you know them?" "Oh yeah, I know them." "No, you don't. You don't know them. There, if you get right down to it, there are very few people that you really know. There are very few people in this building that you really, truly know. But we use that word so lightly that it's lost its meaning. This is more than knowing certain things about Christ. Most of us here, we know about His birth in Bethlehem. We know something about His miracles. We know something about His teachings. But the question is, do we know Him? Do we know Him? Again, John spoke of His eyes and His countenance, His head, His feet, His hands. He knew Him. Again, we read, we do know that we know Him. This is a knowledge of personal confidence. This is a knowledge of persuasion. It is a knowledge of certainty. It is a knowledge of conviction. It is what we read in Acts 2 and verse 36. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. To know assuredly who He is. It is what Paul spoke of in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that He is able. So he's speaking of a knowledge of assurance and conviction. He's also speaking of a knowledge of personal experience and relationship. Again, read those words. We do know that we know Him. It is more than knowing about Him. It is more than a general acquaintance. It is more than a general awareness of Him. It is a knowledge based upon personal experience. Notice 1 John 1 and verse 1. That which was from the beginning, he's speaking of Christ, which we have heard. Remember, John was with Christ throughout His earthly ministry. He says, I heard Him, which we have seen with our eyes. I heard Him. I've seen Him. I have looked upon Him. That is, I have beheld Him, not just with a passing gaze. And our hands have handled. He says, I have heard Him. I have seen Him. I have looked studiously upon Him and I have touched Him. He is saying, I have experienced Jesus Christ. And I believe that's what he's talking about here in 1 John 2, 3. We do know that we know Him. It is a knowledge based upon a personal relationship. Relationships take work. Relationships take effort. Relationships take time. And you do not have a personal relationship with Christ unless there is effort, unless there is time. It is a close association and connection with Christ. We say that we know people that we don't even associate with, nor are we connected to. It is a close contact. He knew Him in a way that he had contact with Jesus. I ask you today, perhaps you know Him as your Savior. But do you have daily contact with Jesus Christ? Do you know Him that way? Yes, perhaps you met Him once. But do you have daily contact with Him? There are many people that you and I have met, but we have no contact with them. I believe that's also true concerning Christ. He's speaking of a knowledge of friendship. That's another word that's used so loosely today that it's become meaningless. It's a word that speaks of kinship. What John is talking about is face-to-face knowledge of Christ. I know Him. It means that He's more than a topic of conversation. You and I can have an intellectual knowledge of Christ, and we can even enjoy talking about Him. But this knowledge is more than that. It's more than doctrine. We ought to be sound in our doctrine concerning Christ. We ought to be sound in all doctrine. What I'm talking about today is more than a doctrine. Because you can be doctrinally sound in the person of Jesus Christ and yet not know Him in this way that John is talking about. It is knowing Him in a way where He is a living reality in our everyday lives. Do you know Him? Is a knowledge that consists of the fellowship spoken of there in 1 John 1 and verse 3. It means that He is a real part of our everyday lives. Knowing Him in such a way that we are able to converse with Him. There are a lot of people that we are acquainted with that we do not converse with. But this knowledge converses with Jesus Christ. It delights in Him, confides in Him. It is a closeness to Him and an agreement with Him. When you think about it, it is a wonder of wonders that we can know Jesus in such a way. What grace. I ask you today, do you know Jesus in this way that John is talking about? I'm speaking right now to God's people, to the saved. Do you know the one of whom John spoke so often? Do you know the one who gave sight to the blind? I'm not asking you if you know of Him. Do you know Him? I'm not even asking you right now if you met Him as Savior. I'm speaking to the saved, those who have met Him as Savior. But do you know Him? Do you know Him? Do you know that one that gave hearing to the deaf and health to the diseased? I love the miracles of Christ, the healing miracles of Christ. Because I can read every one of them. I can say, that's me. I know that. I know that one. Do you know the one who gave liberty to the bound and life to the dead? The words of our text declare that we can know Him. Not only that we can know Him, but that we know Him. Do you know that you know Him? Are you sure that you know Him? And not just merely of Him? So that brings us to the next question. How do we know that we know Him? Religion knows about Christ, knows some facts about Christ. But what we're talking about today is more than religion. We know Him. Religion even believes some things about Christ. I dare say that everyone here knows some things about Christ. And everyone here believes some things about Christ. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about this knowledge of assurance. We're talking about this knowledge of personal experience and relationship. We do know that we know Him. So how can we know? If we simply know Christ in a religious way or an intellectual way, or if we really know Him. Now we want to be plain. Our text is not saying, if you want to know Him, here's how. Keep His commandments. That's not what it's saying. It is not saying, if you want to be saved, here's how. Keep His commandments. Our text says very clearly that we can know that we know Him. And here's how. That's what we're reading here. Notice what it says. And hereby. That is, by this means, we do know that we know Him. If He is now about to give the means by which we can know if we know Him. If we keep His commandments. This is obedience. It's much deeper than just the words that are spoken there or written. This obedience, as you study obedience in the Word of God, obedience is not just doing certain things and not doing certain things. It's much more than that. Obedience includes a desire to obey. It includes an ambition. There's an ambition within us that wants to obey and please Him. It's not mere form. As you read down through verse 6, we're not going to do that to save time, but you see that this obedience consists of abiding in Christ. Now, you can do certain things without abiding in Christ. This knowledge that John is talking about has a transforming power. It transforms our lives every day. This personal confidence and conviction concerning Christ, this personal experience of Christ, this personal relationship with Christ has a transforming effect. So the way that we know Him is by the effect that He has upon our lives. Perhaps you know Christ as Savior. Perhaps there was a day in your life when you came to meet Him as your Savior. But what effect does Christ have upon your everyday life? That's what tells if we know Him, the knowledge that John is speaking of. This knowledge of absolute certainty and conviction concerning Christ. This knowledge of personal experience and relationship with Christ. Again, as a transforming power in our lives. Hereby we do know that we know Him. It is this knowledge of Christ, this knowledge that John is talking about, that gives songs in the night. You know anything about that? Do you know what Job is talking about when he talks about songs in the night? Those songs in the night is a result of knowing Christ. It is this knowledge of Christ that awakes the spiritual senses. It is this knowledge of Christ that causes spiritual sensitivity within our hearts and produces right values and priorities and brings satisfaction and fulfillment into our lives. You can know if you know Christ by simply answering this question: how satisfied is your life? How fulfilled is your life? Because that is greatly dependent upon your knowledge of Jesus Christ. It is this knowledge of Him that captures our thoughts and emotions. It is this knowledge of Him that causes us to think about Him throughout the day. This is the knowledge that John is talking about. It is a knowledge that captures our thoughts. It is a knowledge that causes us to talk to Him. A lot of people find it very difficult to just go up to somebody they don't know and talk to. It's easier to talk to people that you know. How easy do you find it to talk with the Lord? How often do you talk with Christ? This is the knowledge that John is talking about. It is a knowledge that causes you and I to talk to Him. It transforms our life. It is a knowledge that causes us to hear Him throughout our lives and to see Him. If you live your life without talking to Him, without hearing Him, and without seeing Him, you don't really know Him. You don't really know Him. You might be saved, but you don't know Christ in this way that John is talking about. It is a knowledge that causes us to cherish Him, to adore Him, to hold unto Him. It is this knowledge that gives life new meaning and fills one with a yearning of heart. It is this knowledge of Christ that makes the Word of God real. How we treat the Word of God. Jesus is the Word of God. But how we treat the Bible, the Word of God, says much about our knowledge of Christ. If you can, and I realize that people have more than one Bible, but if you can leave your Bible on the pew all week long and not read it, and then come Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Wednesday evening and open it, my friend, you don't know Him. You don't know Him. You know about Him, but you don't know Him. How we treat this book says much about our knowledge of Christ. You see, this knowledge transforms our life. This raises the question, Does our knowledge of Christ that we profess to have continually transform our lives? We all have times of darkness. But let me ask you this. In those times of darkness, do you find Christ as the light? Or do you just wallow in the darkness? We all have times of hurt. Again, the question is, do we find healing in Christ? Or do we wallow in the hurt? We all have times and seasons of hopelessness. During those times, do you find hope in Christ? Do you find yourself looking to Christ? You see, it is this knowledge of Christ that transforms our lives, and not only transforms our lives, but transforms our circumstances. There are times of weakness. In those times, do we find Christ to be strength? There are times of anguish and great distress. Do we stay there until circumstances improve? Or do we, in the midst of anguish and distress, find relief in Christ? Depends on how well we know Him. There are times of sorrow. Do you find joy in Christ in times of sorrow? Or do you have to wait for the circumstances that are causing the sorrow to pass and then you can rejoice? If that be the case, you're no better off than a lost person. Or can you, in the midst of sorrow, you have such a personal experience with Christ that you find joy in Christ? There are times of affliction. In those times, do we know Christ personally enough to find solace in Him? There are times of disappointment. Do we know Christ well enough personally, by experience, that we find encouragement and fulfillment in Christ? There are times when everything seems to be falling apart, times of upheaval. Do you have to wait till those times are over before you have peace? Or do you know Christ well enough personally that you can find peace in Him even during that time? We do know that we know Him. There are times of defeat. You can stay there. Or you can know Christ well enough personally that you find victory in Christ. There are times of fear. During those times, do we know Christ well enough that we find courage in Him? You can tell sometimes you're trying to encourage somebody to look to Christ, and you can just see it in their faces. It's as if they're saying, I wish I could. I wish I could. But I don't know Him in that way. I don't know Him in that way. I haven't walked with Him every day. I haven't talked with Him every day. I don't know Him well enough to lay it all out before Him. I just don't know Him that way. That's the look that you get many times. Does your knowledge of Christ transform your life? Is Jesus Christ a present reality in your life? Do you feel that Jesus Christ is relevant to your circumstances and situations? An intellectual knowledge will never cause you to feel that Christ is relevant to your situation. No, it takes a personal knowledge. The Bible tells us many things about Christ. In the book of Isaiah, we see that He's a hiding place from the wind, a coverlet from the tempest. He's rivers of water in a dry land. And He's a great rock in a weary land. The book of Proverbs tells us that He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. But my question to you today is this real to you? Is it real to your personal life? Do you know these things by personal experience? Are you persuaded that it is so? Again, our text, John declares that we can know that we know Him. And we can know this by the effect that He has upon our lives. A transforming influence upon our lives if we know Him this way. This is far more influential. This personal experience of Christ is far more influential than an intellectual knowledge that leaves one detached from Christ. How miserable is the one who knows all these things about Christ but is detached from Him. That individual is more miserable than the one who doesn't know anything about Christ. To know all these wonderful things, and yet it's not relevant to our lives. Oh, how miserable that individual is. But there is a knowledge. There is a knowledge of Christ. This personal assurance, this personal conviction, this knowledge of experience and relationship, and this knowledge is invigorating. It is a knowledge that encourages. It is a knowledge that strengthens and assures. Oh, what a wonderful thing that we can know Him in such a way. Do you know Jesus Christ in such a way that it transforms your life on a daily basis? You and I ought to always be striving for a closer association with Jesus Christ, a more personal contact with Jesus Christ, to be more familiar with Jesus Christ, to have a warmer friendship with the One who saved our soul. Do you know Him? We lose so much by not knowing Jesus Christ in this way. Notice John chapter 4, and I realize the time, but notice John 4, verse 10. Jesus speaking to the woman at the well. Just notice some phrases here. Jesus answered and said unto her, and then notice, if thou knewest, the gift of God and who it is that saith to thee, if you knew, Jesus is saying, if you knew who I was, Then notice another phrase. Thou wouldest have. If you knew me, you would have. Oh, how many things we would have done had we only known. Had we only known. This knowledge of Christ causes us to do things. Thou wouldest have, and then notice what it says, as you skip down a little bit, and He would have given. If you knew, you would have, and He would have. Oh, how much we miss by not knowing Him. Oh, how we ought to hunger to know Christ. There are things that come into our lives that we would never ask for. There are things that come into our lives that we do not find pleasant. But everything that comes into our life, every circumstance, every situation, we need to view it, I have an opportunity to know Christ better through this circumstance. And it's not so much, how am I going to get out of this? Lord, save me from this. But Lord, reveal yourself. Help me to know you more. It's sad. It's sad to look at God's people who have been saved many, 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 many years. And yet it is quite obvious that they do not have this personal relationship on a daily basis with Jesus Christ. When you try to comfort these people, you end up being more of a discouragement to them than a comfort. Because you tell them about someone that they know they ought to know, but they don't. And discouragement sets in. That preacher didn't help me a bit. It's hard to encourage someone who claims to be saved that does not know Him. Because the only encouragement we can give is Jesus Christ. And if you don't know Him, that's really not that encouraging. It's more discouraging. We've been speaking to the saved. The reason being is because our text addresses the saved. But no doubt there are some here that are not saved. You've never met Jesus Christ as a Savior. You've never seen yourself as a guilty sinner before God and come to Him. May I say today, to be saved, keeping His commandments will not do it. You'll fall short. The very moment you break one, you've broken them all. And you're guilty before God. All you need to know, Jesus Christ is your Savior. And that initiates this personal relationship that we've been talking about today. So I ask you today, you that are lost, would you flee to Christ? Flee to Him. And you will, when you see yourself as a guilty sinner before God, you will flee to Christ. We that have met Christ, go back to the day where you met Him as Savior. Oh, what a wonderful day. What a wonderful day. But now, review your life since that day. Have you walked with Him? Have you talked with Him? Has He talked with you? Have you gotten up real close to Him? Do you know Him? Do you know Him by way of relationship and experience? Brother Larry, if you'd come.